This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, I'm Ezra Zayed. You're listening to Finding the Funny. Finding the Funny is where we'll be speaking to and speaking about people who are in this funny business of entertainment and comedy. So be it stand-up comics, writers, hosts, actors, and beyond, we'll be discussing everything from their work, their inspirations, and what decisions and relationships impacted their craft. I mean, describe to folks where we are exactly right now.
Well, right now, you've just come to the Gardens Theatre. To those of you who are looking, Gardens got theatre, man? Yes. It is two floors, I think, above Signatures, which is the cinema. So we're in the theatre. It's empty now because the show is only going to start in about 2.5 hours' time. So we've got, this is about the only window both Ezra and I had. And so we decided, hey, let's just come in here. There are chairs. It's a theatre. There's a stage. It's fairly quiet. We can do a recording.
Well, I love that. You just heard from my guest, Douglas Lim. He's a stand-up comedian, actor, and of the many things he's done in entertainment and comedy in the country, he formed the MACC. Now, some of you hear that acronym and think the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission, which would be funny, but the MACC I'm referring to is the collective of comics known as the Malaysian Association of Chinese Comedians. So in addition to Douglas, there's Kwa Jin Han, Pun Chi Ho, and Dr. Jason Leong. And they recently completed a series of shows right across the country, and this particular tour makes it their 7th year from when they first started. Right before one of their recent performances in KL, I caught up with Douglas Lim and the guys backstage, essentially to talk comedy, pre-show rituals, and what it's like to be on tour. The hour or couple of hours leading up to being on stage, it's not a cool, calming period. I mean, there's a lot going on and each comedian has their own thing. Like, what would you be doing right now if you weren't speaking to me?
Okay, let me... yes, there is a lot of comics before going on stage, and even myself, we go through serious anxiety, right, before we go on stage. Why this time it's not so bad is because we've been doing the same this show for... This is, what, at least our 9th or 10th show? So if we're still not prepared with our material, then maybe we should reconsider being a stand-up comedian. So so we're in the groove now. We kind of have things down pat. I just finished a Q2Q a run, so technical and all is all sorted. So what we'll be doing now is just backstage, discussing yesterday's show with the other comics, or just talking through hypothetical situations, basically like how much of a moral prostitute we would be, and what's our price. We like to talk about things like that, of like how much money, you know, would it take you to do something despicable? Or the classic one, a robber comes in, has a gun to you, gives you two equally bad options, and you got to choose one or die, usually involving your mother and something else.
This is almost like if you took a philosophy class on existentialism, but it was run by comedians.
Probably, and there's no, you know, and really our answers are not thought-provoking. Our answers are just what the most disgusting, funniest thing you can say. Sometimes we play a few thought exercise games and things like that.
I remember, I mean, you're in the middle of this run with the Malaysian Association of Chinese Comedians,
yeah.
MACC.
Yeah.
And I remember, I think, was it 2009 when you first started this?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm amazed you remember. It was 2009, first EGM.
I try to do some homework. Come on. But so the first one...
I was actually impressed. So you went on our Facebook. Oh, I see. All right.
You know, so you were doing this in 2009. And back then, I remember the enthusiasm of you speaking about, you know what? The show went well. We're going to go up to Penang and we're going to do a show there. But this time around... you're about 6-7 years later. You're doing more than just a couple of states. You're doing quite a few states around the country, including East Malaysia as well. How do you feel about that growth in that time?
We are obviously very excited. I mean, Penang was our first foray out of KL. And Penang took very fast. I think in about a year, the word got out. And now we can do 2 nights in Penang at about 650 people will come to watch. So we included Ipoh as well. Ipoh is still a bit slow. I think I'm not sure why. And then East Malaysia, it's usually done in not in a theatre setting because we can't get a theatre. it's done in like clubs, and so you really need Orang Kuat East Malaysia to push the brand for you.
So you don't need an influencer with a lot of followers that you can retweet. In Sarawak, for example, you need someone on the ground who knows people.
Yeah. You cannot assume that, hey, I've done to 4,000 people in KL. You know, I'm the bomb, right? I'm really a big deal. I'm a big deal. I go East Malaysia, come and watch me. No, it's not gonna work. I mean, I think this clear thing was shown in bigger in bigger events like elections, where you think you're big, some hotshot from KL go over, nothing, bro.
Similar, I guess, the experience.
For ours it's less humiliating, but it's still very grounding. You go there and you're like, okay lah, only 50 people, never mind.
But so how do folks in East Malaysia receive, I guess, this stand-up comedy? And again, I don't pretend to know what's the stand-up comedy scene over there, but I imagine that is something that would have originated from KL and then spread out to all of these other states as well.
Yes, because the scene is still very new. I mean, infancy. You talk about Malaysia, and KL is pretty much the only one that still has a scene, if we can even call it that. And there's one fairly business minded West Malaysian guy actually, but married East Malaysian, stayed there. He goes, hey, I think I'll bring this on. There goes some friends there, they like dancing, they like to go clubbing, they like all this. I think they like stand-up comedy. So then he started bringing some stand-up comedians over to do shows. And so people would go into this club, that club, book it for a night and then do shows. And then he asked, hey, Douglas, would you like come up with the boys? And so then MCC went, yeah, sure, we go. So this is our third year in KK. Kuching last year was the first time, and this year. But really, they won't believe you or that you're good one. No, their friend must tell them that you're worth watching.
It's not about the poster.
Yeah, no, not the poster, not the fact that, hey, I'm Douglas Lim. No, I do a lot of things. They're like, oh, shut up, we don't know. We don't trust you. We've not seen you. We see you once a year, so we know. But if their friends say, okay, I think this guy is worth a watch. Okay, I believe you, brother. And then they'll go and watch.
Wow.
We also get some of the expat community over there. So that's nice.
I saw one of the other comedians, Dr. Jason Leong, walking backstage. He seemed like he was trying to concentrate and focus on his set. And, well, that's when I thought it would be a good time to push a microphone into his face. What's your ritual before the show? Because I'm interrupting on your...
No, not really. Before the show, I tend to get really nervous. I will cough and retch a lot. I get really... I'll visit the bathroom frequently.
You're a doctor. Explain what comedy does to the body. Like, why are you reacting like that?
I think it's the adrenaline rush. And suddenly there's a lot of acid in the stomach. There's a lot of nerves. Suddenly there's a spike of energy. And it's the body's way of releasing the unneeded energy at the time. But
that can't be healthy.
I think so. I found a quote on Facebook. It says, the terror is always there, but we just get comfortable being terrified.
And so 2 years ago, I quit my job as a doctor. Actually, I quit medicine. Number one, because I really love comedy. That's why I quit. And number two, I find that we doctors, we in the medical profession, we face a very unique challenge. A challenge that other professions don't face, right? We doctors have to fight against traditional doctors. You know, like the sincere, or the bomo or the coconut. No, we always have to fight. It's true. We must fight against traditional versions of ourselves. This doesn't happen in other professions. There is no traditional lawyer or traditional accountant. We only have the proper lawyer or a proper accountant. But we doctors have to fight against traditional doctors. When I was young growing up, my mom always told me to see this Chinese sincere, okay? And this stupid Chinese sincere, the only thing he can diagnose is heatiness. Every damn thing, heatiness. Headache, heatiness. Stomach pain, heatiness. Your son gay, heatiness.
We're featuring the MACC, the Malaysian Association of Chinese Comedians, more after this on Finding the Funny, BFM 89.9.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Finding the Funny. I'm Ezra Zayed. On the show today, I caught up with the guys behind the MACC, and that's the Malaysian Association of Chinese Comedians. The ringleader, he's Douglas Lim, and he started this group in 2009 and brought together along Kwa Jen Han, Pun Chi Ho, and Dr. Jason Leong to make up the collective. And at one of their recent performances in KL, I caught up with Douglas and the guys just before they hit the stage. This is a nice theatre. It's really intimate, and it's nice to do a stand-up gig. I mean, different venues have a different vibe to them. Is that important to you? You don't care about the ambience, you're comfortable in what you do to just go up there and perform, or does it matter?
It matters. Everything matters. From how close the audience is, to what style, like whether it's a theatre or a club, to the lighting, to how close this thing to each other, how much distraction they have, what is in front of them, what is behind them. So, like in a theatre setting, something like this, you can go really quiet if you're trying to make a point or trying to falsely lead them to something soft and then bring the punchline if that's where you're going. But you can do a lot more grandstanding in a theatre where you're there, the music is up, it's loud, there's the lights are playing very nicely, you get a nice effect, you walk out and you're like, listen to me, my fellow, you know, my people, you have come to watch me and I am now giving you these nuggets of entertainment and you know, knowledge. In a club, you don't try that, lah. Don't walk in like some champion, you know, arms wide out. They're in a pub, lah.
What's the vibe? In the pub,
you're all friends. You come out there. Hey, what's up, guys? How are you doing? Are you okay? Are you okay? You, how about you? Because everybody can see each other. In a theatre, they can't. They're all facing forward.
And so your demeanour changes
there. Of course. It has to. And it changes not just in like shows like, okay, in shows like this, it is my show. So people pay tickets to watch me. So I know they're there to watch me. So I can be a bit more authoritative. But in a corporate show, let's say, and let's say you're telling me it's all C-level management. Most of these fellas are older than me. They're more respectful. They're more experienced than me. They're older, you know, stuff like that. More decorated in that sense. I cannot come up and go like, hey guys, check this out. Isn't this stupid? Yeah. And I start talking. I can't. I then have to. Same joke. But I go like, you know what? I saw this and I don't actually exactly know what is happening here. Maybe you can explain this to me. So instead of being the, hey guys, look at this. This is stupid. Ha ha. You become the, hey, what is this, huh? What is this, huh?
So comedians also have to be like deferential, but in a different kind of way,
of
right?
Of course, you have to have a very good grasp of the collective schemata. You have to correctly guess who is coming, so you can manage the expectations. More guys, more girls. We ask all these questions, man, you know, to get the data.
Yeah, I love this. You are treating this like it's a football match. That, you know, there's all sorts of analytics to go through. And you seem to be like somebody on the extreme who cares about every little detail. Other comedians who just, you know what, I just got to know my act.
Yeah, I guess, I know, I always believe in stacking it to my favor in any, you know, any shape or form. Like, for this show,
you just want the odds to be in your favor.
Extremely in my favor. If I'm playing roulette on 36 numbers, for example, I'm betting on 31. Okay, so chances of me losing, very low. And so I'll win about 4 or 5 times, I think enough, and walk away with whatever I get, you know. But for even this show, like, okay, and in most theatre productions, you walk in, 9 o'clock's the show, 8:30 the door's open, you walk in, what's that, pipe music, right? You got pipe music, you got a program book on the chair, you
and
read and stuff like that. Yeah.
Wave
and people are talking on the phones and stuff like that. I actually play a loop, a video loop. So when you come in, I've got a projection on the screen here, on the wall anyway, and it's playing funny videos. So I'm priming you from the start. You come in, and some of these videos, I mean, most of them are from YouTube. Let's say YouTube videos, some are funny, some you have watched before, some you haven't watched before. So you're watching all this, and you're saying, you're laughing. And then towards the end, are 4 of our videos. The MAs, the boys, we shoot videos. So if you not know who these people are, they've already appeared on screen. Okay, this fella. And then when he comes out on stage, friendly already.
We're not strangers anymore.
Talk
to me a little bit more about that notion of priming, because it sounds like you're cooking a steak. You know what I mean? But for a lot of television shows, and I think a lot of television shows almost don't pay attention to these kinds of details, because priming the audience for a live television audience, it changes the energy of how it translates onto the screen.
The fluffer, lah. You need to have someone to come on. And I first saw this in action live. I knew what was happening. I first saw this in action live when I was shooting a sitcom in Singapore. In Singapore, they have some comedian will go up there and warm up the guy. And they tell me, okay, I'm going to have a good time, okay? Come on, okay, we're all friends here. And it's really Because we don't want the audience to be the type that will sit there, cross arm and go like, impress me now, I've paid you.
Yeah, so yeah, what is up with audiences who do that? Already they're paying money to go to see you know, MACC, there's Douglas Lim, it's going to be a great night. But still, the moment they walk through those doors, they're like, well, yeah, I'm gonna show you how much I care, but not too early. Let's not do this too quickly now.
I don't know. It might be you're trying to impress someone next to them. Because again, you're coming with company. So you may not want to be too overly enthusiastic if you're trying to control macho. You're trying to impress a girl or if you're the girl and if you don't want to appear to be too type of girlfriend, a bit demure a bit. So maybe lah. But I mean, it's fine. You can laugh however you want. What we're doing is like... We need people to go. It's comfortable to laugh here. It's safe to laugh. It's cool. It's okay. So in a club, how that is done? Because in a club, I can't show this. I got no screen. Yeah. Neither do I have a projector. Yeah. So there is.
They have a couple of barrels behind the bar. That's it.
Some drinks help that lah.
Right. That's the fluffer. Yeah.
Drinks, and then you go up there, maybe do some crowd work in the beginning. How are you guys doing? All right, everything good? Your first time, is this your friend? You know, that because people, everybody can see each other. So it's not so, it doesn't look so ridiculous. In a theater setting, so how are you? What do you do, sir? You know, this is your first time, but it's a nice green shirt. 90% of the people can't see this fella.
Right.
They don't know what you're doing. You know, it's not funny for them. You know, it's just maybe you're having a conversation. What's the point?
I wanted to bring this up because in previous interviews, the references that you keep dropping about your love for the stage and musicals, man, that's really amazing. And where do those intersections meet when it comes to musicals, comedy, being funny and performing? Like, you take that all in stride because you've done so much of it. You've done Chuchi, you've done, you know, all these productions at Istana Budaya, and you're doing this one, and... Yeah, I mean,
I don't actually know if they do meet or whether it matters if they meet, because I think I have kind of, I don't know, not to evolve, but perhaps I'm a lot more on a scale between, and let's say your two polarities are artists and on the other side is entertainer. I think I'm almost hardcore entertainer already. In other words, what I want to do as an artist is come secondary to what people want to watch me, want to see.
And let's say 10 years ago, the skew towards Douglas
Maybe
Lim.
Maybe more towards artists, yeah. More towards, I was a singer-songwriter then, you know, I wanted, and then I realized, I wasn't getting anywhere. People didn't want to hear my songs. They, you know, then I started acting. They were like, hey, oh, they want to watch me. Yeah, okay, I'll do acting. So now I'm a comic. Oh, they want to hear me tell jokes. I guess I'll tell jokes. Oh, they want to hear a certain type of joke. All right, I'll do that. Basically, monkey jam, you know.
No, you don't believe that, do you?
I can see that happening. I can see that. It may not be what I aim to do, obviously, but I can see that influencing a big part of my act and what I do. So like, look at all these musicals as well. I am the what is called the booster character. In other words, when there's a lull in the action or whatever, throw Douglas Lim on stage, give him a funny song. It brings them, you know, makes the mood up and then get lost so that the serious stuff can happen.
Because you're not that important.
Like, yeah, I'm
important
not.
Enough to
I'm the peripheral out. China man who just, you know, just comes in, boom, 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 blah, and then leave, you know, like that guy. So in Chuchi, I played a villain, so that was okay. So like in P. Ramli, that's me, Shaw Brothers, one scene, come out, blah, 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 leave. Lat, that's me again, best friend, blah, blah, blah. Supermog, that's me again, come in, blah, blah. So half the time I'm not on stage.
Is it a point now that you just know what you're doing and you enjoy doing it, or is it as hungry as you were 10 years ago? You're still trying to fill up that calendar.
No, I think now it's more of just I know what I need to do to maintain the lifestyle I want to lead, and I used to naively think that X amount was good enough for me. Let's just have an arbitrary number, like 1 million, right? If I make that million, I'm sorted.
Well, we were all led to that dream as well, right? I mean, a long time ago, like, there's that number once you meet it.
Yeah.
But that's changed.
That's changed because then I realized you have relatives who, you get what I'm saying? You don't help. You know, my side, my wife's side, all the people still alive, you know.
Yeah.
Going to die one. Sure, going to die. Guarantee you they're going to die. Okay? This is whether they die fast or they die slow and expensive medical death. Most of them, no insurance.
Out of the corner of my eye, I spot Pun Chi Ho. He's one of the other comedians, and as Douglas and I are talking, he's taking photos of us. And so I ask him what it's for, and it's for the social media engagement that is so necessary right now to promote shows. So I point to the mic at him, and he immediately stops taking photos. 8:30, the show is slated to start at 9, and there's a video playing of what seems to be some funny videos. So when the video goes up, what does that mean?
Doors open.
It basically tells us that, you know, we have half an hour before we get out there and perform, basically. That's it. Really, really, that's it. This is not the first show. I mean, if it's the first show, we've got a lot of things to think about. Oh, yeah, because we kind of understand now, based on previous shows, where the audience members are laughing. So we kind of know when we have to work more to get the laughs out, maybe more act out, more action. So right now, what's going through our heads is basically, yeah, let's try to hit those laughing points each time we go out there. And you keep it consistent, but sometimes the crowd might surprise us, and I think based on our experience, we know that we gotta notch up our performances.
And the thing is, right now as new parents, I can't use the same teaching methods my parents are used on me. Like for instance, last time my mother taught me how not to smoke. Okay, that smoking is bad. I remember she'd be walking me, and suddenly she will see someone who's smoking. Then we'll stop, and then she'll say, "Jiho, you look at that man. He's smoking. He must be a bad man. When you grow up, you don't be like him, okay? Come." No, I can't do that with my kids nowadays. Why? Because cigarettes are so expensive. What am I gonna tell my kid, right? "Son, come here. You see this man? He is smoking. Cigarettes are very expensive, huh? He must be a rich man. When you grow up, you'll be like him, okay? For longer, go for longer. Go." Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. That's me. My name is Pun Chi Ho.
We're featuring the MACC, the Malaysian Association of Chinese Comedians, Douglas Lim, as well as Kwa Jin Han, Pun Chi Ho, and Dr. Jason Leong. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's Finding the Funny, BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Finding the Funny. I'm Ezra Zaid. On the show today, I managed to catch up with the MACC, the Malaysian Association of Chinese Comedians. Douglas Lim, he started this group 7 years ago, and it now includes other established comedians, including Kwa Jin Han, Pun Chi Ho, and Dr. Jason Leong. I saw one of their shows in KL recently, and managed to chat with Douglas backstage, and given everything that he's done in his career, from television, musicals, and stand-up comedy, we continued to chat about the hard work that happens behind the scenes, the stuff that happens before all of the laughs and giggles. You know, when I think about all the things that you've done, and I've heard interviews of, you know, you busking in Canterbury, and you doing musicals, and you doing TV, people remember you from Kopitiam.
Yeah.
If I were a dispassionate observer, I said, man, this guy is clocking it. He's clocking and churning material out all the time. And that's a nice impression that people have of you, at least.
It's nice. I mean,
Doesn't pay the bills.
Yeah. And no, but it gives you confidence. So when you give me a piece of work, I will do it. Most of the time, I will deliver, which is why, you know, myself and the boys and everything, we have learned inspiration, unreliable. Great when it comes, completely unreliable. You got to grind. You just keep grinding. And you keep churning and you just keep writing, and you know, out of the 10 things you write, 2 will probably make it to the stage. But you can't just magically write the 2, you gotta write 10 to find the 2.
What don't people get about the grind in comedy?
They don't see that a lot of them think jokes come fully formed. So a lot you know, when people watch a show and they go like, well, I've heard that before. Every joke is a joke in progress. It's a work in progress. And if you've watched every one of my shows, how do you expect to hear new material?
Yeah, I think a lot of people almost treat stand-up comedy like a concert. Oh, I want to hear the greatest hits. But it doesn't work that way.
No, not in comedy, though. In comedy, they want to hear new stuff. Old stuff, the element of surprise is not there, which causes the laughter. So the what it's called, what we call the joke, well, the why people laugh is because you tell them something, you mislead them into thinking the result is A, you go with B, which is the punchline, and that elicits the surprise laughter. You take away the surprise. In other words, they've heard the story before. You get maybe more of a, yeah, I've heard it before, thing, which works better for songs, I think. Not so much for comedy. People really want to hear new stuff. And so you got to practice new stuff. You got to work, like you got to write, and then sometimes you have the instinct, you're so confident, you write it, no one's heard it before, and you go, I think this is going to work. I have a very good feeling about this, is your instinct. And then you perform it. And if it works, great. If it doesn't work, don't throw it away. You know, work on it. Just keep writing it. Just keep going, seeing if you got a different angle at it. As you're poking at it to different angles, some will be funny, some will not. Some will start out not funny and be very funny. Some will start out very funny and then lose the momentum. So then at least you've got enough four of these things. If you put them together in the correct order, you get a nice bit.
As a scene is somewhat emerging, at least in the Klang Valley when it comes to comedy, more people are trying it out. But as more people try it out, they then figure out, maybe, well, this is not for me. Do you see that filtering system happening now as audiences are a bit more discerning about the type of things that they're willing to pay and laugh at?
I don't know, lah, because I we like to think we know who the audiences are, and who are just casual audiences and who are punters, you know, sort of a. But I don't know. I've seen people laugh at some comics here who I think are horrible, technique wise. I've seen audiences laugh at comedians who perform hack material. I've seen audiences here laugh and have a really good time at comedians who perform other people's jokes. These things are big no-nos. They laugh because they've not seen this comedian before, but he's been doing the same jokes for the last 7 years, the same joke. But because you're watching for the first time, you're laughing and having a great time. Am I going to rob you? Am I going to go there and say, you don't laugh? That's not good.
That's an unethical laugh.
Yeah. You take back now, you know. You can't. They're having a good time. So I don't actually know if audiences are becoming more discerning, but I do know that if a fan likes you and your comedy, they can tell. If this year you're better or this year not so good, or hey, I've heard this before a few times too many. Are you lazy? What's happening? Have you stopped writing? Your computer's down? What's happening? So they know. And in KL, the small scene that we have. Okay, in the States or in, let's say, UK, mainly in the States, it stays in Canada. You could tour every day to all the comedy clubs, and you won't. I think you finish it in 3 years. You know, if I'm not mistaken, like comics.
Wow,
that's how long, how many comedy clubs they have there. You know, every day they tour. The American comic average, one week, he does about eight to nine shows. You know, a week. The Malaysian comic does four a month, and very tired already. Like, oh yo, so much. Oh, four shows a month. Oh, tired. You know, like corporate show because you don't have clubs. Right, so here we've got, I think, about four or five venues that do either a weekly or a daily show here. So, a lot of new comics can go up, try 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, stuff. But there's only so many of them, a very limited amount, and a limited amount of venues. Which means the audience coming to these venues better be changing, because if it's the same audience, hey, I just see you 2 days ago telling me the same joke, still sucks.
That doesn't do any favors to your ego at all. Yeah. Kwa Jin Han, he's the third comedian that goes up on stage just before Douglas does. And so I asked Jin Han about what it's like to make people laugh night after night after night.
Actually, it's very easy to spot a comic rehearsing. They always have an imaginary mic in their hand, and they're walking around. Just imagine, like, you make a fist with your right hand and put it around your chin, and with the other hand, just wave it around the air. Yeah, you're a comic now.
And what are you doing? What are you doing in that moment?
Just going through the material or the set. Like, it's odd. Like, it's interesting that you asked this question today, because last night's show, I found something was a bit off, and then I realized what it was. At one point in my set, I switched the microphone into the wrong hand, and it just feels different.
And it changed your vibe.
Yeah, because we've been doing this show for, I think it's maybe our 15th show, probably 15th or 16th show. And imagine doing something for 15 times, and then suddenly on the 16th time, you're like, why does this feel weird? It could just be as simple as the microphone's in the wrong hand.
I'm 29 years old, and it really sucks, because I'm getting old. I really am. Okay, see, I know, uncle, you look at me, you judge me. You think it's young people talk. Am I right? But uncle, I'm talking about the younger kids, uncle. Kids these days cannot pakai one, uncle. I'm talking about the 25 and below who dare to call themselves old. You guys have friends like that? You know, it's like, hey, Johnson, you know, I'm 25 years old. Last Friday, right, 12 o'clock, I didn't go clubbing. I go home and sleep because I was tired, man. I'm old already, bro. Uncle, 25, midlife crisis, oh. You die at 50 or what? And being in your 20s is awesome. You can do anything and get away with it. One. In your 20s, you can do something smart, be labeled as genius, or do something stupid, be dismissed as youth, right? In your 20s, you can come home one day, your hair purple, blue, green, gold at the same time, you know. And your mother is there, gray. And your mom's like, why you do this? And you're like, ma, it's my life. I'm in my 20s, it's my life, ma. It's fine. In your 20s, your first day at work, you got a new job, you go to the office, all your other colleagues are nerds. Their wallpaper, desktop wallpaper is mountain, snow leopard, Excel spreadsheet. You are in your 20s, your wallpaper, unicorn, backside, shoot rainbow, come out. It's okay, right?
We're featuring the MACC, the Malaysian Association of Chinese Comedians, Douglas Lim, Kwa Jin Han, Poon Chi Ho, and Dr. Jason Leong. We'll take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's Finding the Funny, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome back to Finding the Funny. I'm Ezra Zayed. On the show today, we've been featuring the MACC, and that's the Malaysian Association of Chinese Comedians, Douglas Lim, Kwa Jin Han, Poon Chi Ho, and Dr. Jason Leong. And recently, backstage, just before a show began, I spoke to Douglas Lim at length about how this entire show, the MACC, how it began some 7 years ago. This show, MACC, I mean, it started off, I think, almost as a response to the other MACC at the time.
Yeah.
But now, the four of you, Douglas Lim, Jason Leong, Poon Chi Ho, Kwa Jin Han, that's an act now. I mean, you must feel pretty proud about that.
Yeah, we're always mistaken for a group. People think MACC is a group. It's not. Some go so far as to think it's an actual organization. We are not. There's no register. You know, you can't register for it.
Can't vote for you either.
We can't vote, and we can't be deregistered because we're not an association. We're just we are impersonating, you know. And back then, when we started, 2009 was when that MACC got a lot of attention, and so we just borrowed, we try and borrow that, get the attention. And but now, when we say MACC, people think, okay, this is the four comedians, and so far our shows have been interesting enough and good enough for people to tell their friends, oh look, this is an animal thing. We got to go and watch these four guys.
I find it interesting that, while on the surface there's a racial dimension or a purported racial dimension to this show, it's a real Malaysian show.
Because I think you have to understand, the four of us are not very good at being Chinese. First of all, if we were, the show would be in Chinese. It's not. Our Chinese is barely passable. Why? Because we all went to Malay school. Like a lot of Chinese people. Like most Malaysians, sekolah kebangsaan.
Yeah.
So Malay is my second best language. English is my first. Chinese is a distant third, you know.
But you can sell a show, let me tell you.
You know, so we know how to be Malaysian. That's who we are. That's all we've been. We don't know. I mean, it's like we. The branding is, yeah, the Chinese element, you know. But
that's also how we do everything in this country, whether it's food, whether it's political parties. So it's almost like a familiar language that was being used.
Yeah, and people seem to, again, it's like, what you want? What you want? People want what? You know, and the people here, like, the first time we did the show, nobody knew what it was. Right? We didn't put the word stand-up comedy in English. Some people came thinking it was a Chinese opera show. No. It did. There was some old people who sat down and then they got up, like, they left. Because what the hell is this? It, you know, it's not...
And I wonder at what minute did they go, you know what, I think we're going to start singing.
We came out with no costumes. And then there was some people, so uncle, you like comedy? No? I said, why are you here? Chinese ma, support ma.
Wow. Wow.
That's not real. But now, man, now
yeah,
you like,
sure.
But now you like comedy? Yeah, now I like. Okay, good lah. Good lah. I'm glad you came to support whatever reason. I don't know what you're trying to support.
You're fixing Malaysia one seat at a time.
Yeah, but we do get, obviously the majority is still Chinese, our audiences. But, we get the
interview. Of course. These other three jokers, it's just between you and me. I mean, do you actually like them? Or, I mean, are they worth spending that much time hanging around? Because you're like a band now. If you go on tour, you're on the road. All sorts of things happen on the road.
But we don't spend that much time together. In fact, only when we work. Which is, either twice a year or once a year is when we, you know, spend intensive amount of time together. But otherwise, even now, I mean, like, they're not all talking and having sharing stories. Or sometimes we talk, we don't talk, you go and sit somewhere else.
But they look up to you for what you've done and what this show represents and for everything within. I mean, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, they're going to say, Chinese stand-up comedian, one of the first few images that's going to pop up in their head is your face.
Yeah, that'd be nice, I think. I would like to think they look up to me. I think I would like to think they offer me that respect. Not just because I'm the producer of the show and eventually I'm the one paying them the money. I would like to think that they still see me as a good comedian and the leader for lack of a better word. Of this production.
And is this also your bit about giving back in any way, or is it just complete happenstance?
Giving back to what?
Giving back to other young comics.
Oh, like, no.
None whatsoever. No nostalgia on that front.
No, it's just that I've not done a solo show because I get bored. Solo show, I got to talk. You got to talk for 1:15, 1:20, you know, 1 hour, 15 minutes, 1:20. I can. But I get bored. Even my own stuff. After 40 minutes, I'm like, enough. Like, I'm tired. So I said, I can't do this. So I thought, Chiho, you can't do this. You can help me out. So Chiho, then Jen Han, then Jason. So now we got a tight 1.5 hour show with no intermission. I think 1.5 hours, if it's a good show, people also be like, enough.
Yeah, that's true.
You're barely, you know, you can't take that much, is it? If your show not so funny, 3 hours again. But, so I think it's a nice little balance that we have, eventually I know I will have to do my own solo show. But you know, the boys will probably come and open. Maybe not all three lah. No, one night now.
The favorite son.
Another night. Yeah. No, different lah. There's no. they are all established comedians in their own right. I mean, you got them going to Melbourne Comedy Festival, Sydney Fringe, Jason going to Hong Kong once, international, something.
That's really encouraging, isn't it?
It's encouraging. I mean, and, you know, I guess having, I think, you know, for them to come with me and do this show, I've also made the right choice because apparently other people also find them funny, you know. It's not just me. For them to sacrifice their time to all come together and do this show together is also noteworthy, and is also something that I am grateful for.
Douglas, thanks for chatting with me.
You're welcome.
Go do your show.
All right. You have enough?
Yeah, dude.
Why I do that is because I want to pay lower taxes, and there's some young people here. Let me give some advice, right? When you start working, you get your income. That one kena income tax, okay? That means before you spend, don't care you spend a lot or little, the gaji come in, the LHD income, take a portion first. Income tax. Corporate tax, you spend first. Spend kau, you spend like, oh, spend. And then the LHDN will come and take a percentage from your profit. So my company has got very creative expenses one. Very colourful. For example, I'm a filial Chinese son, so I give my mother a monthly allowance. That's reflected in my company's expenses under CSR. It's okay, man. It works.
My housemate is the office cleaner. You know, my six dogs, security. Although if you read the list of my security guards names, you know something is up. Like Lucky, Cleo, Bell, Rascal, Oreo and Thor. Nepal mana ni? We also give my wife's uncle a stipend. He's this old man who lives in Ulu Klang, and his job is basically to go to the Ulu Klang wet market and buy our meat and vegetables. So in my company, he's head of marketing.
To find out more about the MACC, that's the Malaysian Association of Chinese Comedians, head over to facebook.com/MACComedians. If you missed any part of this program, download previous podcasts at bfm.my/funny. I'm Ezra Zayed, and this is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.